Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hello all, I am Glenn the Geek back in the studio in Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, July 20th, 2011, episode 188, sponsored by Back on Track. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
I would like to report a theft. I would like to report a crime, and I need to call the local authorities. Something has been stolen from me, Glenn.
What? I don't have any idea what you're talking about. I'm innocent.
I don't understand what happened to the book Black Beauty, Glenn. What happened? I've been running around here. Like
wait. Are you saying the book Black Beauty that you're reading from every day is gone?
It's gone. I took it. I took it with me to the horse trial to read, and I've just been searching my horse trailer. I've been searching my car, my truck. I cannot find it anywhere. So I need to know a chapter so I can try to Google it and find it online. So,
I paid Chad, your lovely, sweet horse husband, to steal it and burn it.
I think you did. But don't worry. I'm going to find it online. Let's see. Okay, chapter 22, The Parting, The Earl Shawl, Strike for Liberty, Lady Anne, Ruby Smith.
I'll tell you what. I was having kind of one of those mornings till about 2 seconds ago.
Oh, you know what? Never mind. I just found it online. I'm on chapter 28, A Job Horse and His Drivers. And guess what, my friend? Hitherto, I had always been driven by people who at least... Somebody printed the whole dang book online, and I would like to thank ClassicReader.com because Black Beauty will go on.
I wonder if I can hack that site in the next 45 minutes.
Good luck to you, my friend. Good luck, because it is on. Okay, shoo!
I thought we had that all figured out, too. Chad and I didn't work hard enough at that, I don't think.
Mama always has Google, okay? Just remember that. You can Google anything. Okay, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show? And you can go ahead and include Black Beauty because I foiled the criminal.
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, we will be investigating the many applications of the word stubborn. First up, Grand Canyon mule rides. Are those mules smart or stubborn? And are the riders nuts or gutsy? Stay tuned so that you can give us your opinion. Next up, Jamie will continue to stubbornly attempt to sway Glenn and his man minions to open up and appreciate the love fest that is Black Beauty. Then, to wrap our stubborn Wednesday, thehorse.com will be here with good advice for those of us, myself included, who are stubborn money savers when it comes to our horses' veterinary care.
Well, you know, I got to, Jamie, I was not going to do a Daily Whinny, but now you have forced me. This goes out to our friend Tom Rittenhouse, the non-horse person who listens to the show every day and who has been keeping track of the carnage that is Black Beauty. And he gave us a report 2 days ago, and he says, first of all, he gave us some things he has learned from Black Beauty so far as a non-horse person. Number one, no smoking in the barn. Number two, don't drink and ride. Number three, wear a helmet. And number four, just because you can drive doesn't mean you can drive a Ferrari. He's referring to the throne girl. If a horse does not want to go somewhere, there might be a reason, either a bridge or a flood. Okay, no. So he's one day behind, and this is the carnage report on Black Beauty. Two guys have died, one hunt rider and a drunk rider. One dog has died, five horses have died. Actually, one in the hunt, two have drowned, and two in the fire. Somewhat related to the story, one author died post-publishing, four chickens from the narrator, and he says, seriously, my condolences, Jamie, and one farm sitter, unfortunate accident. So,
I appreciate the last one the most, Tom. That guy, bless his heart, has been about kicked out of my neighborhood. So the guy has been banned. So he pretty much has. So I do like that he followed it up with, before he forgets, check your tires as far as Black Beauty's lost shoe. Tom, you're awesome. I do appreciate it. That carnage count is a little exaggerated, but you're right. That's the point of reading Black Beauty, is that we all have things to learn from wise Black Beauty. I appreciate it.
Damn, you really did find it online?
Yes, I did. It's called classicreader.com.
You don't know what I went through from Kentucky to steal your book in Phoenix.
I know, but you know what, my friend, you cannot steal from me. I foiled your plans. I have a Daily Whinny, though. Let's move on. It's happening. So I have this friend in Sweden who is pretty much the me in Sweden. If I lived in Sweden, she would be me. We have gone through so many things at the same time, and Svensson, and she sent me a T-shirt. I know she sent you one, Glenn, and your T-shirt was a photo of a horse, a cartoon of a horse that said, I'm not fat, I'm just big boned. And she sent me a picture, a T-shirt, and the photo on it, Jennifer, if you don't mind, kindly pasting online, because it is fantastic. It is a picture of a shirt, picture of a horse that pretty much looks like it doesn't want to be up in the morning. And that is me every morning, and I do appreciate it. She knows this very well. And I
appreciate
you.
She does
sending...
know it pretty well, doesn't she? She must. You can
I
tell
know.
She's a listener.
She does, and it's scary. Chad saw that. He was like, oh, my God, that is awesome. So it's very appropriate, and we want to thank you very much for thinking of us and sending us gifts. Totally unnecessary, but absolutely appreciated. And
early.
I don't do early. So it's also posted online right now. So we do appreciate it. Thank you very much. We are I actually wore it all day yesterday.
Well, that's great. That's fun. Thank you so much to our faithful listener in Sweden. Well, we know we have one faithful listener in Sweden.
Yeah, sure, at least one.
Two.
So maybe tell two of your friends, and we'll have three in Sweden.
Hey, we had some things that were left over from the other day, but I wanted to remind everybody, because we were interrupted yesterday being over live at the Pony Club. I wanted to remind everybody about Really Bad Ads on Friday. Get your Really Bad Ads in. Tomorrow we'll announce what we're giving away on Friday. I know it will include a signed Horse Radio Network hat, but there'll be something else for you too. So make sure to get your ads in. You only have 2 days left. Jennifer, you have been getting some, I think, for over the last 2 weeks because we didn't do it last week. But we definitely have room for some more and need a couple more. So get your ads in today or tomorrow.
Get them in. And I want goofy. I want funny. I want snarky. I want the ones that those writers out there should be nominated for a Pulitzer. And they're out there.
And Jennifer, because you're not checking your chat, I just need to ask you, is Jamie breaking up a bit for you?
She sounds not fine at my end.
Okay. All right, good.
Just you guys.
It must just be me, Jamie.
It's
sabotage. It's revenge.
It's wishful thinking. Well, no, if you guys recall, we left the show on
Monday.
What'd
you say, Jamie? I can't hear you. You're breaking up. No, that'll be it. We'll do that. I'll do that routine at Black Beauty time.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. If you guys recall, we left the show on Monday, and I was going to tell you about meeting the veterinarian in an emergency situation as I'm about to start getting dressed for cross country. You recall the panic-stricken moment that I was going to describe to you yesterday, but we didn't?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I'm just going to tell you this because I sent some pictures to Jennifer, and she's going to post those online as well. So it's an hour before I need to get dressed for cross country. Again, this is the first horse trial I've taken with my crazy thoroughbred, who has at this point tried to kill me like 4 times and did airs above the ground in our dressage test. But I decide I'm going to go for cross country. But Chad's there, and I said, why don't we go walk the course one more time before I get dressed, you know, burn off some nervous energy. So we take the puppies, Boomer and Pinata, and we go put them on a leash, and we go walk around cross country. Well, we're coming back up from cross country, and I noticed that Zenyatta is like, she's rubbing her face with her paw. Well, that's weird. Maybe she has some in her eye. Then I realized that she's like rubbing her face on the ground, rubbing her face on my legs, rubbing her face on anything she can rub it on. So as we're walking back up to the barn, I see the vet on call, because every horse trial has a vet there. And I said, hey, do you do dogs? And he's like, no, I just do horses. I said, well, look at my dog's face. I noticed that her face had some swelling kind of around the eyes and around the lips, like the upper jaw. And she was rubbing it, and she was irritated. He's like, oh, I don't know. He goes, there's a small animal vet here, and I knew who she was. So I said, okay, I'll go get in the car, and I'm going to drive around the horse trial looking for the small animal vet who just happened to be competing. Couldn't find her. At this point, I've left Zenyatta with Chad back at the horse trailer, and I'm driving around in his car looking for the small animal vet. So then I say to him, I come back, and I said, I can't find her. He goes, we need the vet now, like right now. Well, coming from Chad, who's like, if it's not, you know, bleeding or whatever, it's like, it doesn't need to see a vet. He doesn't, to me, that meant something important. So if Chad's saying we need the vet, we need the vet. So I go look at Zenyatta. Oh, my gosh. Her face is like a watermelon. All of a sudden, her entire face has swollen up. She looks like a Shar Pei. And, Jen, you can post the pictures online right now. I don't think they'll do it justice.
She really
my
does
gosh.
Look like a Shar Pei.
Yes, her face swelled up so much that her eyes actually swelled shut.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that fattened nostril. Holy cow.
Isn't that the saddest thing you've ever seen? So I put her in the car, and we just go straight down the top. Maybe the vet was down there at cross country, you know, the start of cross country. So I drive down there real fast, and that are in the car. We're like kind of speeding through, and I see the same doctor that I just saw, the guy who said I don't do dogs, Dr. Crabo. And I said, Dr. Crabo, do you have any Dex or do you have anything? I'm like, my dog's face is swollen. He was like, really? Is it worse? Yeah. Mind you, at this point, I'm supposed to be getting dressed for cross country. So there's also the added panic of I'm going to miss my ride time. So he's like, well, let me take a look at her. And he kind of meanders up to the car. And I'm like, here she is. And I hold her up. And he's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Holy God.
It's never okay. Good when the vet says, oh, my God.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was thinking. So he's like, let me run to the truck. I got to look up the dog dosages for Dex. I got to look them up. So he runs back. He sprints, you know, a little towel in his back pocket, sprints back to his vet truck, goes in there, and I see him flipping through books, like, trying to find the deck of dog dosage. He finds it. He runs to the back of the truck. He pulls it up, and we stick her with some dexamethasone IV. And then we're like, you know, the whole find the vein of the dog is not quite as easy as the horse, but he actually nailed it. And gave her some dex, and he's like, okay, she shouldn't swell anymore, and in at least 12 hours it should be gone. So my poor dog was swollen with her eyes shut for like 5-6 hours until it started to dissipate. I was afraid it was going to constrict her breathing. I want to know, has anybody had this happen before? I don't know. I mean, she was on
was
a leash the whole time.
Was it a bee sting or a sting of a bug?
I don't
bug
know if it was a scorpion,
maybe a
bee, ants, a snake. You just would have think that with me holding her, I would have at least seen it. Or seen her, heard her yelp or something.
Well, how about a
so,
scorpion? Because they're pretty small.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, you see poor little Zenyatta. There's another photo of her actually looking up, Jen, if you can post that one too. Because it's a little ridiculous, poor little thing. So, yeah, that was my panic before cross country.
It's just what you needed.
Exactly. She's totally fine now. She's all back to normal. She's sitting under my feet right now. But it was, she turned into a Shar Pei. I don't know what happened.
She did look like a Shar Pei, actually. You know, if you had waited too much longer, she wasn't going to be able to see out of her eyes.
Oh, she couldn't. But the picture I took, it just got worse. And of course, here's me going, okay, her face is swollen. I need a vet. Give me the camera because I got to take pictures because I got to talk about this on the show because everybody's going to laugh. It's all about the show, Glenn. All about the show.
I see your dedication. It's unbelievable.
Chad's like, are you seriously taking pictures right now? Like, hey. He's like, you're going to be the kind of mom that, like, the kids, you videotape it riding his bicycle off a cliff just so you can get a good laugh from the video.
Sure.
So, fortunately, we were able to get her into the trailer and let the meds start kicking in. Then I quickly rushed to get dressed for cross country, but I think that might be why my horse freaked out so bad, is because my heart rate was about, you know, 160 when I was on him, and he felt every bit of that.
And it had to be Zenyatta and not Chad's dog. If it was Chad's dog, you wouldn't have been as upset.
I'd have been like, hey, babe, your dog's face is swollen. I got to go.
Yeah. Take care of it. Put the mic on, it'll be fine.
Exactly. Just let him. You know what? If he starts to really rasp when he's breathing, it's just stick a pen in his trachea. And he'll get out of that way. He'll be fine.
All the time.
So that's my weekend. But Glenn, I know that you had a news story about a new movie coming out, and this may be the most fantastic movie idea I've ever heard.
Well, you know, I didn't know about it till this morning. Maybe our listeners already knew, but there's going to be a new Lone Ranger film coming out. A couple things in this article that I thought was interesting. And the whole article was about there's an all-white thoroughbred that was born in Illinois that's going to go be silver, one of the silvers. It's going to be 5 silvers in the Lone. Of course, that was Lone Ranger's horse, for those of you that aren't old enough to have watched it. But the first was a radio show aired in 1933. And then the television show was from 49 to 57. And I remember watching reruns of the television show, so that must have been in the 70s and 80s. I mean, it was a while later. So anyway, The Lone Ranger is going to be a movie, and the good part about this is, you know, the guy who's playing The Lone Ranger is Armin Hammer, and that made me think, who's Armin Hammer? And I got to thinking, isn't that the guy who makes the, you know, baking soda? And sure enough, it's his great-grandson. This is the baking soda guy's great-grandson, but he's the guy that played the twins in Social Network.
Cool.
And
he actually goes by
Army Hammer is what he goes by. So, but that's not the good part of this movie, because if you remember correctly, Lone Ranger had a sidekick, an Indian sidekick by the name of Tonto. And if you remember, it was all kind of stereotypical, politically incorrect in the TV show, if you've ever watched the TV show. So it's kind of wondering how they were going to. Yeah.
Tonto. Do you know what Tonto means in Spanish?
No.
Stupid. I mean.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It means dumb or stupid in Spanish. So not only did they have a Native American who was, like, as stereotypical as possible, this is in the days before, you know, anything was politically correct and they would use tripwires on the horses and everything was horrible, but also they had a poor Native American guy and his name was Stupid. So I can't get any worse. However,
but,
I was a huge Lone Ranger fan, so this is exciting. Tell us
well,
who is going to play Tonto.
This is what's going to make this movie work, is Tonto is going to be played by none other than Johnny Depp.
Yeah! Can you imagine how funny Johnny Depp is going to be playing Tonto? Hello! Pirates of the Caribbean on a horse. It's awesome. I think that's the greatest story ever.
Although you're going to have to put up with seeing Johnny Depp in a loincloth. So that might be something.
Oh, painful. He's hideous.
But this is cool. And it looks like it's supposed to, let me see here. It's being done by Silver Bullet Productions, which is owned by Walt Disney. Of course, I think they own them all. And it's supposed to come out the end of 2012. December 21st, 2012. Of course, that will change 15 times between now and then. But how cool is that? I just think that's fun.
They must think it's going to be really, really good to release it in December. They always release, like, the big movies around Christmas and at the start of the summer. So it's going to be a holiday blockbuster. And Johnny Depp is just the perfect person. And watching Arm & Hammer, if you haven't seen The Social Network, you have to watch it, because this guy, I thought he stole the movie. And what's even more bizarre is I thought he was a twin. I thought there was actually two of them, because they almost looked different and they had different mannerisms, but they're so funny because they're these kind of rich elitist snobs and they totally play it up. And I keep saying they, like there was two of them. It's actually one guy. And I was shocked to learn that after the movie. I'm like, those weren't really twins? That's actually just one person? And they're ridiculous, ridiculously good looking. I mean, just silly good looking. So it was just even funnier. Like on the yacht, you know, oh, we're so rich. We just, you know, congratulate ourselves all the time.
Do you know that they're still fighting that lawsuit? The real Hinkle-Voss twins are still fighting that lawsuit with Facebook. They're still
really?
they got $100 million or $80 million or some in stock, but it's worth about $100 million now, and they're still going after them for more. They just don't give up. You know, give me $100 million and I'll agree never to sue you again. I'll be fine. No problem.
Robert Dunn just posted that Tonto means fool, and Tonto is fool in Spanish. I thought it was stupid. I'm going to question you on that one, Robert Dunn. Let me go to my iPhone app. That's freetranslator.com.
There you go. Check that out. See what it is.
I will.
And then,
what else do we... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, can I finally talk about this? This pet lovers found to share the love. This research project. Okay.
Yes. So, go ahead.
So this was put out by. It was reported by horsetalk.co.com, which is a New Zealand site done by our friend Robin down there. And I don't know if Robin wrote this or not, but basically it said. And I can agree with this. The opening line was, men who fear they play second fiddle to horses in their partner's life need have no fear of being shortchanged in the love stakes. American researchers found that pet owners were just as close to their animals as to key people in their lives, a finding that will come as little surprise to the partners of horse-loving women. Okay. Do you want me to start checking off the things that are wrong with that one paragraph? And then I read it down, and they talked to dog owners. There were 217 people in this study. First of all, I have problems with studies that have 200 people in them. 79% were women, and the mean age was 31, and they owned dogs. They didn't own horses. They owned dogs. So they found that dog owners were a little happier and a little healthier and maybe had a little bit better relationships. Okay, let's start here. You cannot take that study then and make the huge jump to horse-loving women that own horses will also have the same results. Because the horses, number one, don't live in the house. They require much more time. They require much more expense. But do you want me to go on? Do you start to get my point that you cannot take this study and then translate it to horse women? It just doesn't work.
Okay. I understand what you're saying, but what I found interesting, that this study really riled you up. It got you a little fired up. Yes, they were studying dogs, but I would like to point out that the last study, comprising 97 undergraduates, found that pets can, and this is why I think this study rings so true to you and it really bothered you, is because it finds that pets can make people feel better after experiencing rejection. And probably in college you were rejected by quite a few women, and you know, you are mad about it because it hits close to home. The last study found that pets can make people feel better after experiencing rejection. 97 out of 97 felt better after being rejected.
I can agree with that one easily. I think that I can agree with that because your dog is always happy to see you come home. So I
can
totally agree
that
with that. But
Glenn,
I cannot agree with the opening paragraph that us horse husbands are just, you know, we just can't agree with that study. Going to throw that one out. Sorry, Robin.
Is it saying that men are equals to the horses?
That's pretty much what it's saying. And we all know that's not true. We all know that when we start dating a horsewoman, we are told in no unconditional terms, do not ever say it's me or the horses. So when they make that statement at the very beginning of a relationship, you're saying you're second fiddle to the horses, so don't ever make that statement. We learn that early on, and we just accept that that's our place in life. And well, you either do or you don't. And, you know, if you don't, you're out. So you do, you stay in. But so that's my point. That's kind of my point, you know?
So really what this is saying is in a dating type situation, if it's me or the horse is going to win. And if you're married and you've already accepted it, then you rise above.
No.
Is that what? No?
No.
I'm so confused by this.
No, when you're married and you change. See, what happens is a lot of these guys think they can accept it. And then they go down the road a year or two, and they realize that this is taking way too much time and money, and they're not accepting it anymore, and they change their mind. Guess what? So they're not rising above it. They're still second fiddle, and they're out. That's time for divorce. So,
sorry about that, Glenn.
Yeah, this study didn't do much for me. I just had to bust on her a little bit because it's just not true. And I'm America's horse husband. I know these things.
I'm sure you do, honey.
Did
I'm
you notice
sure you
that
do.
Jennifer has not said a word during this entire conversation? Did you notice that?
She's a smart lady. She's just going to let you go ahead and rant and rave, and she knows the truth, which is, of course,
hey, so
you are way higher than
out there. I know for a fact that Glenn is listening out there, and Glenn Forrester is listening out there, and Glenn will back me up on this. I know for a fact that he will back me up on this. So, by the way, he says that the guy who played Tonto was a native Canadian. And it looks like Robert Dunn went and checked, and he wanted to make sure, too, because I guess he hates it when you question him. And he said it actually can mean stupid, idiot, or fool. Also means clown-like. Well, that pretty much describes Johnny Depp to a T, so I think it'll be perfect.
It is perfect. And, yeah, it does mean my freetranslator.com said stupid or silly. So pretty much you can take a conglomeration of all of those and just know that Johnny Depp will do it major justice when the movie comes out. I'm so excited about it.
Oh, yay. And the best news of the day just popped up on our Facebook page by Rick Connolly. Thank you so much, Rick. He says, today is one of the most important days this year in Norfolk, Nebraska. Once in a lifetime North American Manure Expo, July 20th in Norfolk, Nebraska. The 2011 North American Manure Expo, the only trade show and training event training event in the world that spreads manure to demonstrate the latest advances in manure management technology. Why are we not doing a live remote from that?
They're having a poop festival?
Wait a minute. 53 vendors will be there from across America demonstrating the latest technology in manure management. Jennifer, we should have had these people as a guest.
I have a question.
I missed that one, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
I should have had this one.
I have a question, though, because I want to know, with the whole manure and expo that's going on, do you think that, like at Rolex, there's going to be a guy standing in a bucket, like demonstrating his boots, the durability of his boots?
I'm looking. They have a website. It's manureexpo.org. I'm not kidding. Manureexpo.org. About the expo, they have a trade fair, they have technology demonstrations, and they have educational events. Boy, that's a stinky one.
That's pretty awesome. I cannot believe that you weren't up on that, and you're not there. This is like the perfect thing for a horse husband.
Exhibitor information. This ought to be good. Oh, they don't list the exhibitors. Damn. I wanted to see who the exhibitors were.
Probably because they knew we'd make fun of it.
So what's pictured on the homepage? There's a whole bunch of guys in boots, by the way, and a manure truck spreading with a big hose, and it looks like they're pouring manure out into a field. Okay, that's the kind of expo you just want to pay good money to see.
That is fantastic. I can't believe we missed it. I'm going to say that again. Thank
hey, you, Jennifer. Book that.
I think it's time to do our commercial, Glenn, and Lynn Love. We'll get our first guest on.
All right, good. Let's do that. And, of course, today is sponsored by Back on Track. So let's hear from Bo, and we'll be back with our first guest to talk about mule riding down the Grand Canyon. By the way, have you ever done that?
Yes.
Oh, I've never done it, but I don't know that I could. So we'll talk about that in a minute.
Well, hi, Bo, and welcome back to Horses in the Morning.
Thank you.
Well, you know, Bo, I wanted to talk to you this week. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about using the mesh sheet and how that really covered the back and, you know, a larger portion of the horse itself. And then last week, we covered the saddle pad to use when you're riding. I wanted to talk to you about the leg wraps today. When should you use the leg wraps? And you have a couple of different kinds.
Yes, all of our leg wraps work the same. It's best result is to use it overnight. If you don't have them in, indoors overnight, you can put them on a couple hours a day and you will see some effect, but that's the result you will have for overnight.
So these are not wraps that you would put, you would turn them out in? It's better
no,
to...
No, indoor wraps.
Okay, so all of your wraps are, these particular ones are indoor. And what benefits do we see to the legs?
You're going to see that the legs tighten up because of the increase of blood circulation and the legs are going to be tight and cool, wind puffs disappear or get softer, especially horses are stuck up at night. You can see a big difference with this kind of wraps on.
So it doesn't really matter what discipline we're doing. They're going to benefit almost anybody, whether English or Western or trail riders.
Oh, any horse will be helped by this. Because the horse is stuck up in the legs is because of poor blood circulation, and our leg wraps the increased blood circulation 50% in second of the counts.
Did you see them being used more front legs, back legs, or all four?
Most people use all four, but the horse usually stuck up in the hind before they stuck up in front.
Okay, so if you're going to get two, they could also rotate them if they had a pair, or are there separate sizes for front and back?
It's separate sizes, come 12, 14, and 16 inch. And some people want all the four leg wraps on you. You know, they help the horses, of course, if you can wrap all four legs to stay sounder.
All right, cool. And you can find out more information on the Back on Track leg wraps. You can find that at backontrackproducts.com, along with all the other products. And we've talked about the mesh sheets and the saddle pads, and we're going to continue talking about other products as we go down the road here. Well, thank you again, Bo, for continuing to be a sponsor of Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being on.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
Well, Zach, thank you very much to Back on Track Products for being a continuing sponsor. We are going to get our guests on hopefully in a minute if they end up making it to the show this morning. You never know what can happen in a morning at the Grand Canyon when you have about 200 mules. We'll have to see. But I want to know, and our phone number here is 347-637-3238. Has anybody besides me ever actually done a mule ride into the Grand Canyon? Have you, A, seen the Grand Canyon? Have you seen the mules, and have you ridden them? Definitely give us a call and let us know, because I've got to know if any other horse people had the same experience that I did, Glenn.
I did not. I have not done it, and Jennifer is, not so fond of heights, and I read the disclaimers. I'm not sure I would do it either, to be honest with you. It just looks kind of terrifying, and I kind of think I'd trust my own 2 feet rather than the four of the mule, but that's probably incorrect. And then I found a picture that I'm going to post on the show notes for today's show of them riding down the freaking Grand Canyon on this 6-inch path with snow in the winter. Like, put snowshoes on my mule, maybe.
That's a little crazy. My experience was we did the all-day mule ride, which is you ride all the way down
by the way,
Canyon.
Let's encourage people to call in if they have done the Grand Canyon ride, 347-637-3238. Go ahead.
I said that already. You weren't listening.
I wasn't.
I want to know because my experience with the mule ride into Grand Canyon was one that I'm just curious to know if other horse people have experienced. Because I got on that mule, and I was on a very small one, and I'm in the front right behind the guide. And we're going, and you basically are on a 6-inch to, it's probably like a 2.5 feet, but it, to me, it seemed like a 6-inch little cutout crevice in the side of the wall. And on your right, as you're going down, is the Grand Canyon wall. And directly on your left is a sheer drop-off. So you pretty much have no room for mistakes. Think of these mules because they're supposed to be more sure-footed. There's also people hiking that you have to pull off to the side to allow the mules to come down and forward and blah, blah, blah. So it was like, I think, 3.5 hours down, have lunch, sit down, have lunch, and then ride back up. This ride was absolutely amazing, incredible, phenomenal. It was very mentally and physically challenging for me. And, I mean, you have the urge as a horse person to try to guide your mule. You are way better off letting it go and just letting it proceed down the trail. Leave it alone. However, as a horsewoman, I found myself, distributing my weight and trying to help the mule and trying to pick around rocks and do all that kind of stuff, which was completely unnecessary. Now, mind you, from me all the way back, there's probably like 8 other people in our group who have never ridden. Never. They're sitting on this thing. They got their phones out. They're texting, taking pictures. They got their feet out of the stirrups. They're just like hiking on down the trail. We get down to the bottom. We have our lunch. I'm exhausted. I am absolutely exhausted. And at this point, I was riding probably this time in my life 6 to 8 horses a day. We get back on. We ride all the way up. And by the end of the next 3.5 hour ride, Glenn, I can hardly walk. I mean, I am in so much pain that my feet are aching. My inner thighs are aching from squeezing. My butt hurts from clenching. My head hurts from squinting and gritting my teeth. And like, it was some phenomenally ferocious ride. And I look around as we've made it up to the top, and I'm like, we did it. And I look around, and everybody else is like, hopping off their mules, walking back, giving them to the guide. Okay, see you later. Here's your tip. Whatever. Bye. Have a nice day. And they just walk back to their car. And I mean, I cannot walk. I am in so much pain, Glenn, that if they'd had a wheelchair, I'd have gotten in it and ridden away. And I asked my guide, I'm like, what the heck is going on? I don't understand why these people who have never sat on a horse in their entire life just got off these mules and rode and walked away like nothing, that they hadn't been sitting on a mule for 6 hours. I mean, everybody had a little saddle butt, but nothing major. And he turns to me and he goes, really quietly says, I'll tell you why. He goes, because you ride horses, and you know what can happen. And I was like, what? What do you mean I know what can happen? What does that mean? Does that mean I was in danger? He's like, you rode the mule the entire time. They just sat there like it was a carnival ride. But you know that it's not a carnival ride. It's actually an animal. I'm like, oh, my God. If you would have told me that before, I never would have done this. What has happened, my friend? Please tell me. And we still haven't gotten him on the phone, so we're going to probably have to make this wait for another day, Glenn, because there obviously maybe some emergency with the mules has happened, and they're not able to join us. Jennifer.
Yeah, or the guy who, you know, the guy who was supposed to call in had one of those accidents he was talking about.
You know what can happen.
That. I've got knocking
what
on wood
heck?
That he didn't.
I know, right? Yeah. Well, so you never know what's going to happen. So
more than likely what happened was we had a time. Sometimes when we talk to the people on the West Coast, they can't translate 3 hours back, and the times get a little messed up. So Jennifer will keep trying him, and we'll get him on another day if we can't get him on today. But I did want to talk to him. You know, there's so many questions about the mules. You know, what's the lifespan of a mule that does those rides? And by the way, there's a 24-hour and a 48-hour ride, too. Can you imagine that?
Oh. Hell to the no. No. My God. I haven't sat on a mule since then. I'm done with mules. Like, phew, good job, guys. Way to go. You saved me. I'm not going to challenge you anymore. My work here is done.
A couple things, too, seeing that we didn't get our poor mule guy on, and hopefully. Now, you had a connection there. Isn't your one of the veterinarians you know actually does the vet work for them or something?
Yes, my friend who I went to visit in Prescott, Arizona, is Dr. Mesa Dickinson. She's the veterinarian for the mules, and she just kind of got that account and has been going up. You know, I text her, how's it going? What'd you do today? Oh, I floated the, 27 mules' teeth, and then after that, I'm going to go back up there and do 230 health exams. What? But apparently they put her up for the evening in one of the really nice cabins, and she stays there for a couple of days, because believe it or not, every veterinarian that works up there has a far drive, because nobody lives around the Grand Canyon except for the mules.
How far is it from you?
The Grand Canyon, I believe, is about 5 hours. Hours north. I have yet to make that trip. Chad and I have talked about it a million times. We want to go up there and go to Zion National Park and kind of see the area over there. Sorry, I have fighting dogs behind me. Enough. Come here.
Well, I think that you guys should wait till we come out to visit you, and then we can go up and do that part. Jennifer wants to do the train ride, too. She won't do the mules down the Grand Canyon, but I think she really wants to do the train ride. Apparently, there's a train that goes along up there.
No. You're doing the mules. And the good thing about you guys doing the mules is I've already done it, so I don't have to do it again. I am going to put you on. I'm going to give you a leg up, pat your mule on the butt, and send you on your way.
I don't know. I don't think Kelly Utter just posted, I went with my mom and we walked down a good ways on foot, dodging the mules a couple times. One word of advice, don't eat the taco salad at the Bright Angel Lodge. I was sick for days and missed my godmother's wedding because of it. So there you go.
Oh.
Especially don't eat the taco salad before you take the walk down the narrow path.
Why
not a lot of bathrooms
would you
on the way, are there?
That's the worst idea ever.
Hey, I have a couple of updates here. I saw that Robert Dunn posted on there that he has now become friends with the Equestrian Legends, one of our new shows we talked about last week. The second episode of that has come out. Also, the second episode of the Driving Radio Show. You want to take a listen to that? Our guest for the Driving Radio Show was on, David Saunders was on our show a while back. He is the guy that was the coachman to the Queens. And remember what a fascinating interview we had. Well, we had a two-part interview with him for the Driving Radio Show, and part one is now available, and you can go to drivingradioshow.com people are, the driving community really has taken after that show. For you know, on the first day of that show, which we really announced yesterday, and that new episode came out yesterday, we had hundreds of downloads yesterday for that show. So we're real happy that the driving community is taking a like to it. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's very exciting.
Okay, I thought you were busting my chops about it.
Oh no, I think that's great. I'm excited for you. It's about time you did a driving radio show. You know, you're all about driving, so I think it's good. I'm still waiting for you to get your pony and get your little chase and be able to, you know, cruise around Lexington with your little pony.
Well, see, there's this big carriage auction coming up at the end of September, October here in Lexington. It's a private collection that's being sold out. And, of course, Wendy and I are going to have to go over and cover that, just to cover it, you know, nothing.
I've covered auctions before, too.
I think Jennifer's on the phone right now, so I can say that. I, of course, won't bring the checkbook. I wouldn't do that. Hey, I also wanted to mention, too, a series that we're doing. Remember I told you that Coach Jen has now taken over Horse Tip Daily? Well, so what happens 2 weeks after she takes over Horse Tip Daily is she asked me to come back and do a series of tips with her. So we are doing a series of tips this week that I think, Jamie, that you would find fascinating. And as you know, I used to actually be a trainer for years in the financial world for salespeople in the financial world. And one of the things we taught was the levels of learning. And we've really we have incorporated those levels of learning into coaching students and teaching students and also into training horses. So we're doing a 5-part series on Horse Tip Daily. The first 2 parts are up there now on the levels of learning and how they relate to your coaching and teaching and also the training of horses. So I actually think you would find it fascinating, and it's something to take a listen to, and it's something that Jennifer and I have been doing for years teaching for years in everything that we do. Now, I did it in the financial world teaching sales, but we also then incorporated it into Jennifer's lesson plan as a way to identify where students were and where they were going and how fast or slow that they get there. So I just think that you would find it fascinating as an instructor.
I can't wait. I'm going to have to definitely check that out. I'll actually have to listen to somebody else's show. I don't even listen to mine.
That's right. You're one of the very few. Most of the other hosts actually listen to their own shows. You don't.
Can't do it. Don't want to hear it at all. I get too self-conscious. Hey, I do want to let you know, Glenn, I want you to look on Facebook on our Horses in the Morning page right now and tell me what color is this horse that I just posted pictures of. I have to get y'all's opinion. Jennifer, I want you to look at it. Tell me what color this horse is.
His mane is grayer than my beard.
I'm too distracted by the rider's headgear. That's pretty cool.
I don't even know.
He's got a helmet on.
I like that. That's a statement.
He's got a helmet on over a baseball hat. He kind of has the. Are you sure that's not what's his name? The comedian guy. It's Larry the Cable Guy.
That's funny you should say that, because I'll let you know who that is in a second.
That is a unique color.
Let me describe the horse so that the listeners who can't see it actually know what we're talking about.
It looks like, in the body of this horse, it looks like a buckskin or a palomino. It's like a yellow, kind of a darker buckskin color, like a creamier, darker tan brown color.
It's a really dark roux. Yeah.
It's a dark buckskin. I don't know what roux means, but I'm going to go with it. So it's a dark colored buckskin. Now, instead of the black mane and tail, I would like you to know that this horse is 5 years old. Instead of the black mane and tail, the mane and tail are completely silver. It's a silver buckskin something. I don't know.
He's got legs that are kind of, well, the back legs look like they're a little bit lighter towards the bottom, and then they've got black splotchy on them. And then the front legs are a little bit less lighter, but more splotchy. So I'm going to hazard a guess, and the word smoky or sooty is in the description of that color. That's as far
I'll
as
tell
I'm
you,
willing
Teresa,
to
risk it. Teresa was no help. You posted what color is this and then put the picture. She said a pretty one. She was no help.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah, no
I'm telling
clue.
You,
okay.
The mane is about the same color as my beard, so whatever it is, I am too.
Now, I wish I had an answer for you guys, because I have absolutely no idea. I have never seen a horse this color in my entire life. And, you know, have you guys ever seen this? And we've been around horses collectively
no,
for, like,
I
you
have,
know, 100 years.
No, I have not seen that color before. Not to, with the mane and tail like that.
It's a buckskin color with a silver mane and tail. I have no idea what this is, and I'm sure that the people who have this horse don't know what it is either. I will tell you that my husband wants this horse really bad. He's like, if I'm
going to
get a horse.
Who's Larry the Cable Guy? Who's Larry the Cable Guy, the rider?
You're going to die. Larry the Cable Guy on the horse is actually the prison inmate who has been charged with this Mustang that they pulled off the range, and he has been training for the last 6 months. Larry the
okay.
Cable Guy and all a prison
right.
inmate.
Now I got to say something. I am really happy that our prisoners have to wear helmets. Aren't we proud?
Hey, you know what? I think this is a really cool thing, actually. We've got to talk to somebody about this, too, because I've heard about this before, and all the Mustangs at the Kentucky Horse Park come from this program. I don't know if it's the exact one, but basically the Mustangs that have been rounded up, they do they send them to inmates, and the inmates get to train the horses. Now, these inmates spend like 8 hours a day with these horses for like 6 months. That's a lot of time to spend with a horse. So they spend time gentling them, breaking them, getting them ridden, you know, putting them in trailers, picking up their feet. And they spend this much time, 6 to 8 hours a day for 6 months with these horses. And then at the end of it, all the horses get auctioned off to put the money back into the program, which I think is a fantastic program because it gives them something to do. And they have to be really good, you know, good inmates. They have to be, you know, smiley face, best behavior to be able to get this job, I guess. But this auction is coming up, and Chad wants this one. He wants it really bad.
Chad's going to end up owning more horses than you at this rate.
Well, believe it or not, he's starting to move up the level from his 25-year-old one-eyed quarter horse, Palomino. He's so arthritic, he can hardly move, which makes him great for kids. But, no, I would love to know what this color is, because when we go buy him at the auction, I would like to be able to say, oh, we bought a silver buckskin chestnut dun. Great.
So what do they run? What do they go for at the auction?
I have no idea. I don't think when I looked at the previous auctions, none of them went for more than like $2,700, $2,800. And some
well,
of them
I'm actually surprised they go that high. Yeah.
So most that was the highest. I'm not surprised because, well, I guess I am surprised really because I thought they would go for a lot like. This was covered on CNN. They do, you know, they really publicized this whole thing, and this is the next one coming up. But when I looked at the last prices, $700 to $1,500 was the average.
Yeah, okay. That's actually a little bit higher than I thought it would be, too. I thought it would be $800 or $1,000.
Huh. Well, maybe
but you're
we'll
getting
get
a broke
deal.
Horse. Yeah, you're getting a broke horse. I mean, so that does mean something. Well, cool. Let's go to our song first, and then we'll do Black Beauty, and then we have the horse coming up with a very interesting topic that really shouldn't make me sick at all today, and that is the top 10 ways to save money on your horse's medication. And of course, horse's medication is something that we all tend to spend a lot of money on, whether we want to or not, so I'm interested to hear what they had to say about that. But first, you know, I kind of thought you guys had another haboob the other day, didn't you?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sick of cleaning my pool.
By the way, and Jennifer, you are going to have to play the song for me because mine went reverted back to yesterday again. So I don't have it to play. It's at the very top. It's called, the song today is called A Little Rain by Templeton Thompson. So in honor of Haboob season out there in Arizona, this is A Little Rain by Templeton Thompson. Do you see it, Jennifer?
Guess what?
I got
it.
I'll play it. Here we go.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Gotta love it.
Every time I hear one of her songs, I think I just like it better than the last one. I think it was my new favorite. That was absolutely gorgeous. That's Templeton Thompson, Little Rain. We haven't played that one before, Glenn. I loved it.
No, that's actually one we have not played before. You are correct. Little Rain.
And it's appropriate that you played that for my Haboob that happened the other day, because when you say Little Rain, yes, we got plenty of wind. Plenty of sand blowing and no rain. I mean, just a little bit of rain. So it's perfectly appropriate.
You guys get more wind than rain? Is that the deal?
Well, I mean, we are the desert, so the sandstorm blowing over us is quite normal. The rain actually it spit outside for like half a second. And I was listening to the news last night, and they're like, yeah, we're really in the drought. We really need the rain. I'm like, no kidding. We're in a drought? Because we're in the middle of the freaking desert.
Yeah, how can you be in a drought when you're in the desert? I don't get that. Aren't you permanently in a drought?
I think we just steal all of Colorado's water and Utah's water anyway. Get on down.
All right, you ready? Do you really find Black Beauty, or are we actually going to do it today?
My Black Beauty copy is MIA, but thank goodness for Google, and I was able to Google the chapter that we are on, and so hit it.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 28, A Job Horse and His Drivers. Hitherto, I had always been driven by people who at least knew how to drive, but in this place, I was seeking my experience of all the different kinds of bad and ignorant driving to which we horses are subjected, for I was now a job horse and was let out to all sorts of people who wished to hire me. As I was good-tempered and gentle, I think I was oftener let out to the ignorant drivers than some of the other horses because I could be depended upon. It would take a long time to tell of all the different styles in which I was driven, but I will mention a few. First, there were the tight rein drivers, men who seemed to think that all depended on holding the reins as hard as they could, never relaxing the pull on the horse's mouth or giving him at least liberty of movement. They were always talking about keeping the horse well in hand and holding a horse up, just as if a horse was not made to hold himself up. Some poor, broken-down horses whose mouths may have been made hard and insensible by just such drivers as these may perhaps find some support in it. But for a horse who can depend upon his own legs, who has a tender mouth and is easily guided, it is not only tormenting, but it is stupid. Then there are the loose-rein drivers who let the reins lie easily on our backs and their own hands rest lazily on their knees. Of course, such gentlemen have no control over a horse, and if anything happens suddenly, if a horse shies, starts, stumbles, they are nowhere and cannot help the horse or themselves till the mischief is done. Of course, for myself, I had no objection to it, since I was not in the habit either of starting or stumbling, and had only been used to depend on my driver for the guidance and encouragement. Still, one likes to feel the rein a little in going downhill and likes to know that one's driver has not gone to sleep. Besides, a slovenly way of driving gets a horse into bad and often lazy habits, and when changes hands, he has to be whipped out of them with more or less pain or trouble. Squire Gordon always kept us to our best paces and our best manners. He said that spoiling a horse and letting him get into bad habits was just as cruel as spoiling a child, and both had to suffer for it afterwards. Besides, these drivers are often careless altogether and will attend to anything else more than their horses. I went out in the phaeton one day with them, and he had a lady and two children behind him. He flapped the reins about as we started and, of course, gave me several unmeaning cuts with the whip, though I was fairly off. There had been a good deal of road mending going on. Even where the stones were not freshly laid down, there were many loose ones around. My driver was laughing and joking with the lady and the children and talking about the country to the right and to the left, but never thought it worthwhile to keep an eye on his horse or to drive on the smoothest parts of the road, so it easily happened that I got a stone in one of my forefeet. Now, if Mr. Gordon or John or, in fact, any good driver had been there, he would have seen that something was wrong before I'd gone three paces. Or even if it had been dark, a practice hand would have felt by the rein that there was something wrong in the step, and they would have got down and picked out the stone. But this man went laughing and talking while at every step the stone became more firmly wedged between my shoe and the frog of my foot. The stone was sharp on the inside and round on the outside, which, as everyone knows, is the most dangerous kind that a horse can pick up, at the same time cutting his foot and making him most liable to stumble and fall. Whether the man was partly blind or only very careless, I can't say, but he drove me with that stone in my foot for a good half mile before he saw anything. By that time, I was going so lame with the pain, when at last he saw it, he called out, "Well, here's a go. Why, they have sent us out with a lame horse. What a shame." He then chucked the reins and flipped about the whip, saying, "No, then it's no use playing the old soldier with me. There's a journey to go, and it's no use turning lame and lazy." Just at this time, a farmer came riding up on a brown cob. He lifted his hat and pulled up. "I beg your pardon, sir," he said, "but I think there's something the matter with your horse. He goes very much as if he had a stone in his shoe. If you will allow me, I will look at his feet. These loose scattered stones are confounded dangerous things for these horses." "He's a hired horse," said my driver. "I don't know what's the matter with him, but it's a great shame to send out a lame beast like this." The farmer dismounted, slipping the rein over his arm, and at once took up my near foot. "Bless me, there's a stone. Lame, I should think so." At first he tried to dislodge it with his hand, but it was now very tightly wedged. He drew a stone pick out of his pocket and very carefully and with some trouble got it out. Then holding it up, he said, there's the stone your horse had picked up. It's a wonder he did not fall down and break his knees in the bargain." "Well, to be sure," said my driver, "that's a queer thing. I never knew horses picked up stones before." "Didn't you?" said the farmer rather contemptuously. "But they do, and though the best of them will do it, and it can't be helped on such roads as these. And if you don't want to lean your horse, you must look sharp and get them out quickly. This foot is very much bruised, he said, setting it down gently and patting me. If I might advise, sir, you had better drive him gently for a while. The foot is a good deal hurt, and the lameness will not go off directly. Then, mounting his cob and raising his hat to the lady, he trotted off. When he was gone, my driver began to flop the reins about and whip the harness, by which I understood I was to go on, which, of course, I did, glad that the stone was gone, but still in a good deal of pain. This was the sort of experience that we job horses often came in for. And tomorrow, chapter 29, Cockneys.
I noticed that there was some extra emphasis on the driving part on the reading of Black Beauty.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think that it's just Black Beauty talking about being a hired horse and describing the types of drivers that are out there and the type he actually prefers. So what I'm thinking is, you know, every day we all learn a little something from Black Beauty.
Yeah, that's okay. All right, it is time. And Jamie, do you have the horse's music? Because I can't play it because we still have a problem over here. So do you see it?
Oh, you sound... Well, you got Black Beauty, but you couldn't get the horse?
No, we can't. We're seeing yesterday's music, actually. We're not seeing today's. So.
Well, get with the program. I got it right here. Ready?
Okay, yeah.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and Chrissy's attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
And we are here with our weekly health report with thehorse.com. And we have Christy and we have Dr. Jones from Florida with us again today. Sorry, we're starting a little late. Jamie was just prattling on and on.
Hi, Christy. Not at all. Glad to be here. So, Glenn, we're glad you're back.
Yes, I am back. I am here feeling better. And we were out at the Pony Club yesterday, doing nationals and having some fun out there. But today we're actually going to talk about saving money, which doesn't sound gross at all.
I don't think we're going to gross you out today. We'll maybe double up our efforts next week.
And Jamie and I are going to try and be good and not interrupt so much.
Well, we expect the interruptions. That always helps and aids our discussion, I think.
Well, I think that the reason is that Glenn just really wants to pay attention because as a horse husband, this is going to be a very exciting topic to them. How to save money regarding your horses. So this is
a win-win. That's a horse husband's dream right there.
It sure is.
And start off with don't own any horses. But
that's first. That's
impossible.
Hey, before we go on, let's ask Dr. Jones. We have a picture here. We're trying to identify a color of a horse. It looks like a dun or I don't know.
Buckskin.
It's a buckskin, maybe a dark buckskin color, but it has a gray, silver mane and tail. Have you ever seen one?
Well, only if it's getting older, it's getting gray.
It's five.
Oh. Interesting. I'd love to see the picture. Is it on your Facebook
page?
It's
on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Actually, Jamie was out. It's in prison right now, so that could be why it's gray. but it's going to be sold out of prison here very shortly. And we were kind of curious as to what color it was. And so far, nobody's been able to identify it.
Interesting. That's really cool.
Like a chestnut body with a actual silvery gray, like Glenn's beard, mane and tail.
Yeah, exactly. But he's
It sounds like those that I used to color in the coloring books. I'd give them all different colors, not purple or pink, but all different colors, manes and tails and bodies, just out of sheer imagination.
Do you think that it was a do? You think that they colored it? That the prisoners had nothing better to do?
Well, you know, there are some famous draft horses that we all know that get their manes dyed. So because they get a little gray.
But the horse is
well.
The person?
No, you know, there's not dark roots.
I don't think they're in
prison. No. All right, we're taking up all your time. See, I said we wouldn't talk, and look at this.
That's all right. Not a problem. Well, we want to talk about some ways to save money on your horse's medication, and it's not about finding the hottest online sales, although that might be fun, too. The first one we want to talk about was deworming, because a lot of people are wasting a lot of money on their dewormers by worming on a rigid schedule, and these days the recommendations are to use fecal egg counts to determine if your horse is a high or a medium or a low shedder of parasite eggs, and to deworm them accordingly, because the horses that don't shed a lot don't need as much dewormer. So you might actually use less than you would on what's a very common two-month schedule. Aaron, can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Since the fecal egg count has become quite popular, and believe it or not, the pharmaceutical companies are encouraging it, and which is ironic because they make money off of the dewormers, they have saved a lot of my clients a lot of money. I have one client that's just fanatical about cleaning up the manure in her pasture and such, and she was able to decrease her deworming product use to very little to nil every year. And what they do is certain times of the year, depending on where you live in the country, your horse should have fecal egg count done on it and then have a dewormer suggested. So here in Florida, our primary time we like to do is October and March, April. Those are our prime times we'd like to do the fecal egg counts. If there's other times we do it, it's because your horse is what we call a high shedder, and those horses do exist in the herd. 20% of your herd is going to be a high shedder. So if you have 10 horses, that means two of your 10 horses will probably come up consistently with a lot of eggs. And that's going to be the horse you'll focus on. You may do that one more fecal egg count on them and then deworm appropriately. But I've had a lot of people, they don't deworm their horses because they're picking up manure in their pastures, they're picking it up in their stalls. There's no need to. So they spend a little more energy, lose a little weight, have good cardiovascular, and a lot more money in their pocket.
And is that if they never leave the farm either?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, very much so.
Okay, because what I mean is if you're not deworming your horse, you pretty much don't want to be doing trail rides with other horses and staying overnight and all of that kind of stuff, because then you are exposing,
well,
I don't care how much you clean up your pasture.
True, but you still should do your fecal egg count. And the client that I was talking about in particular, she went trail riding with overnight stays all the time and still came out with zero on her fecal egg count. But she was extremely good about cleaning up the manure before it even got cold. I mean, she was there and she had it picked up immediately.
Okay. I'm believing you.
So that's one thing, is you don't have to keep putting dewormer into your horse if it doesn't need it.
Yeah, and we're creating resistance for it, too. So it's a responsible thing to do, too, to get your fecal egg counts in the spring from your veterinarian and then create a plan.
Exactly.
Thanks, Jamie. That's exactly where I was getting ready to go. Okay, so the next thing on our top 10 list is essentially use medications on the correct schedule. Erin, I believe you're familiar with some creative dosing strategies for Adequan.
Yes. There is a common belief in the performance horse world is they put their horses on a maintenance dose of Adequan, whether they need it or not, once a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's okay if you got the pocketbook for it, but there's been no proven scientific paper that has shown us that a once-a-month Adequan shot is going to prevent your horse from getting arthritis or it's going to actually do your horse some good. Adequan was studied, back in the late 70s, early 80s, with the premise that a shot was given every fourth day for 7 total shots. And that was it. They never did any kind of study that they gave a shot a month and proved that the horse does not get arthritis or improves, or it elongates your 7-dose series you did and then you put them on a once a month thereafter. There's nothing that proves that. So if you think about it, let's say you do your box of 7, which I have clients that do that once a year. You have 7 shots you've given the horse. There's 12 months in a year. You've just saved 5 shots. And you've done it according to prescription label.
Hold on. Okay. Are you telling me that forever everybody said give your horse a shot of Adequan once a month, and you're saying how many every so often?
No, the actual use of Ataquan, when it came out, is one shot every fourth day for 7 total shots. So within 28 days, your horse will have the proper dose.
Okay. And you do that once a year or once?
Whenever it's needed. So I've got a handful of clients that will inject their horse's hocks, which a lot of people do, and they'll do a one box of Ataquan. They'll do the 7-shot series. I don't see those horses for another year. Easily.
Uh-huh. But
they maintain for the entire year.
I gotcha. Okay, so they're only given 7 things of Ataquan as opposed to 12. So, yeah, that's a huge savings right there.
It is. It's absolutely huge. That's the appropriate way to give the medication. That's the way it was researched and the way it's supposed to be prescribed as you read the side of the box. But most of people are into this once a month. It was a... You know, it might have worked for 1 or 2 people, so another couple of people said, hey, that can't be bad for me, but it's never been proven.
Wow, so, I had no idea. No idea.
Yeah. Now, if it works for your horse once a month and you prefer to stay that way and you've got the pocketbook for it, then by all means, I'm not trying to talk people out of it. Just saying, if you don't think it's doing any different, then you might want to just try the 7-dose shot and not the other 5 months. You save your 5 shots and see how your horse does.
Gotcha.
Now, granted,
okay,
there are
cool.
some people I know who have done the 7-dose shots twice a year. Now, that's 14 shots, 2 more than you do. But those horses are heavily, heavily showing. And they're hunter jumper people that are doing it before the winter festival down here, and then they do it before they go to indoors up north. So, but I don't know how often they're doing hock injections in those horses. I don't think they're doing them very often.
Right. Right.
All right.
Christy?
What's good info? The next one on our list is don't use supplements that your horse doesn't need. Not that any of us have ever done that.
Liar!
You know what? I think going to the tack store is like going to a clothing store or maybe even the makeup shop for some of us, because you get on it and you think, oh, that looks really cool, or, oh, I think my horse needs that. Just like you look at the makeup and say, oh, I think I need that, or, oh, I think, you know, that would look good on me. You just kind of get caught up in it.
Yeah, I have that problem all the time.
What kind of makeup do you prefer? Never mind. Sorry, go ahead.
So, but, you know, the moral of the subject is, and the moral of the story is, first off, supplements are like our supplements in the human world. There is no FDA regulation of it. So I can make a batch of supplements, and I know I've said this before. I can make a batch of supplements in my garage, put a label on them, make it a really pretty label, put it out there and sell it to you, and it could be mostly sugar with a little bit of vitamin C in it, or mostly sugar and a little bit of glucosamine in it, or, you know, whatever I want to put in it, and nobody's going to really regulate me. And I can do really well financially. I can make some decent money. What we're trying to say is, if your horse truly needs a supplement, then get it. If it doesn't, I wouldn't bother. But the other thing you have to be concerned about, too, is some of those supplements can be dangerous to the horse. And it'd be best to talk to your vet about it. The other thing would be testing your pastures. If you have pastures, your horses are on it. Those that want to maybe supplement with selenium or something, because they heard that the horse might be low in selenium, they could cause some problems in those horses if they already have enough selenium in their soil. So there's a lot of pros and cons to this. Supplementing the horses, but I highly recommend talking to a veterinarian. If a veterinarian is not very, very good with nutritional discussions, there are extension agents from nearby universities in the agriculture section, and you don't have to have a vet school for that. That can be very savvy with talking to you about your nutritional supplements.
And I think, too, a lot of people end up buying the cheapest hay they can find, especially these days when hay has gotten so high. But then they try to make up the difference with supplements that cost just at least as much money as better hay might have cost, for example.
Very good point.
Another thing to consider. Okay, the next thing on our list is sort of related to the previous. Don't use products that aren't proven to work. We already covered that a little bit. Or the supplements that are made in the garage or whatnot. So let's go on to the next thing on our list. Running a little bit short on time, don't use illegally compounded medications. And compounded medications are those that are custom made by pharmacies for a specific horse, a specific need. So it's not a bottle that you'd buy off the shelf. And there are a lot of situations in which those medications are very much needed, and it's not trying to paint all compounded medications with a broad brush, But there are some that are frequently illegally compounded, and those often, you know, in several studies that have been published, don't have the right amount of the active ingredient. They may not have anywhere near the target potency, and they may not work pretty much at all. So, Aaron, can you talk to us a little bit about those?
There's a lot of deceased polo ponies in Florida that come to mind.
Yes, absolutely. That has brought it to the attention of the general public. Prior to this, people didn't know. And it's funny, because you think about illegally compounded meds, you're in the back alley buying it from somebody, and you're doing cash-only deal. It's not that. Your veterinarian may recommend it or give it to you, and that veterinarian is either not educated well enough on compounded meds or is turning a blind eye to it, I hate to say. But there are drugs that should not be compounded if they are available by the federal government, the FDA. If FDA is there to protect your animal, again, Glenn brought up a point of animals that died. The compounded pharmacy aspect, they're not really closely regulated by the FDA. They can do inspections, they can give guidelines, but they don't go and check every single one. And I think there's one that pops up on every corner in my backyard on every week. You know, the regular pharmacist that has a small family-owned pharmacy said, hey, I think I'm going to try to get into compounded meds because you can make some good money with it, and they'll start offering compounded meds to their customers. So you have to be very, very careful about the source of where you're getting them from, and there is now a board that approves. You have to be doing a certain amount of certain things at your pharmacy. I don't know what your pharmacy are. You become part of this pharmacy group of compounders. You can look in to see if they are that. The other thing, too, is if you're not sure that your veterinarian is guiding you the correct way on the compounded medication, you can check with the AAEP.org website, and they can give you some good guidelines on what compounded meds would be a way to figure out if your med is a good compounded med or not. Talking to the actual pharmacist and say that, you know, I'm calling for my prescription. My veterinarian should have called it in. It's for such and such. And they said, oh, yeah, it's here on the shelf. We'll send it off today. They're not supposed to store compounded meds on the shelf. They're supposed to be made per every prescription that goes in. So things like that. There's a little, you know, a lot of hidden things that we don't know a lot about the compounded meds, how they're illegally done. So you can easily be trapped into thinking that you're getting a proper med just by the pharmacist or your veterinarian. But the meds that are out there available, one that comes to mind is Gastrogard, Omeprazole. It's out there available, and that's been approved by FDA. If you are getting compounded Omeprazole, A, they found that most of them don't work that are compounded because they don't have proper amount of potency in them, and B, it's illegal for that pharmacist to be making it because they're going against the federal government.
Time out. Okay, so you are not allowed to give Omeprazole, which is the ingredient in Gastrogard. You have to give just Gastrogard.
Well, I mean, if you're going to buy Omeprazole because you're buying it over the counter in the human form, that's your choice. This is your animal. But if a pharmacist compounded and actually made you a tub of Omeprazole, that was illegal for the pharmacist to do.
Okay, well, I would definitely never do that. I would never buy a tube of Omeprazole ever from a compounded pharmacy. That would be terrible. I would never do something like that. Good to know.
Well, it's the thing is that's the most popular right now, especially for the show horses that are out running around and getting ulcers, and they're trying to warrant and keep the ulcers away. So people are trying to skirt the money issue nowadays, and I understand that in the economy. But they may be giving this powdered Omeprazole, which is first off illegal, and secondly, may not even have the right amount of potency in it. And most of them that they have tested off the side without anybody knowing, you know, it's kind of done independently, have found that their amount that they say that's on the side of the label is actually not what's in there. It's a lot less. So you're not actually doing your horse any good with giving them the illegal compounded.
Well, that is good to know. You guys hate... Go ahead, Christy. Sorry.
I was just going to say, and they also, if they test those same products over time, they found they degrade a lot quicker than the FDA-approved product as well. We actually had a webinar on compounding a couple of months ago at thehorse.com. If anybody wants to check it out, it has actually a lot of those studies and numbers in it at thehorse.com/webinars. So, go ahead, Jamie. I'm sorry.
No, well, you know, this is great. I mean, I was the one who, when I worked for a vet in Atlanta, he would sell compounded Adequan, called compounded Legend, which is MAP 5, and I realized now that I live here that was actually pretty illegal. I had no idea that I was party to an illegal drug ring, but I mean, I guess that's illegal too now because the vet I worked for here told me that they couldn't sell that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, listen, you guys, because this is such a good topic on the top 10 ways to save money on your horse's medication, can we make it a two-parter? Because I don't want to skip through the next five that we have down because they're actually really, really good. Do you guys mind?
No.
No. I think that'd be fine.
Okay, so... Part two, next week, the top 10 ways to save money on your horse's medications. Every horse husband out there will be glad that we are continuing this and letting you know how your pocketbooks will be saved.
Our pleasure.
Not that we understood half of the conversation, but we're right there.
At least we did.
Basically, as you guys did.
to cover, don't just deworm and buy the meds. Actually, you can have your horse's fecal tested by your vet. You don't have to give Adequan every month. Go with the actual program. You can go to floridaequinenav.com, I would imagine, Dr. Jones, to find out more about that or at least email you. Don't over-supplement your horse. Yeah, exactly. Don't over-supplement your horse or give them supplements they don't need. Don't use products that aren't proven. And don't use illegally compounded medications because you're actually not saving any money because the thing is worthless anyway. Right?
Yep.
That was pretty good. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Part two next week. Thank you guys so much. Sorry we're running out of time.
No problem. Take care.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
And I think we have an answer to the color the horse that we have talked about. Let me read this. And, of course, it's Ann Svensson, who we talked about earlier, who was the one that was so kind to send us our shirts from Sweden, has come up with the answer. And everybody else seems to be agreeing now. So it's silver.
Silver. You think you can get through this, Glenn? You think you can read this whole thing? I'm going to pay attention.
I've been practicing while you guys were doing the other thing.
okay, go for it.
Silver, the horse silver dilution gene dilutes black pigment and has no effect on red pigment, which I think is kind of interesting. The mane and tail are lightened to flaxen or silver gray, which this horse is definitely silver gray, and may darken on some horses as they age, which is interesting because, you know, you think about things lightening in a lot of cases as they age. A solid black horse with this gene will be chocolate-colored with a lightened mane and tail. A bay horse will have the black pigment on the lower legs, mane and tail lightened. Sometimes bay horses with silver dilution can be mistaken for chestnuts with a flaxen mane and tail. Silver dilution is inherited as a dominant trait. It is known to occur in Rocky Mountain horses and related breeds. Shetland ponies, Icelandics, and Morgan horses as well. This horse kind of looks, I don't know what Jennifer thinks, kind of looks like a Rocky Mountain, actually, in a way.
Except for he's not chocolate, like chocolate brown. It's a buckskin brown, or a chestnut brown, actually. And most of them usually, it seems like they would have a more yellowish gray mane in a
if he started out as a bay that has a silver dilution gene, the body color would fit in the bay category, and his normally black mane and tail got turned silver. That kind of makes sense. I'm willing to jump on the silver dilution gene bandwagon.
Now it it takes us all the way back to the beginning. Hi-ho, silver!
Oh,
woo! Lone Ranger, baby!
Go Tonto!
Absolutely.
All right. The highlight of my day was finding out that Johnny Depp's going to be Tonto in this movie. That's the best thing we've discovered the whole day in this show.
Absolutely. Can't argue with that. Fantastic. Thank you, guys. I can relate to Tonto.
You know, I can kind of relate because you're kind of like the Lone Ranger. You're the smart one, and I'm kind of like Tonto.
You know, if the shoe fits, Glenn, wear it.
All right, everybody.
We'll be back again tomorrow. Hopefully our guest will show up. By the way, Jennifer, did you actually did talk to them from the mule rider place in?
Yes, we did. We had a time zone translation difficulty, which is all too common.
Kind of thought that was
yeah,
the case,
and they're
going
to be on next Wednesday.
All right, good. Good. So we definitely will have them on to talk about the mules. And tomorrow, I don't really have any idea what we're talking about tomorrow. But we'll be back with another show here on the Horse Radio Network. And, of course, you can listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Oh, tomorrow, Jamie, I remember now, we are going to be doing a Things We'll Never Own segment. And this is one you're going to want to see.
Okay, fantastic. I just have one more question on Facebook about this horse. When everybody said that maybe it's like a Rocky Mountain or Pasofino, what do you think the odds that this horse is gated? That's my next question. Does he look like a gated horse?
Did you see
horse?
It go
everybody.
At all?
No, it's only seen a picture. No.
Oh, I thought you actually went up to see it.
No, they're in Reno, Nevada.
Oh, I thought they were in the Arizona desert. Okay.
Oh no, I wish.
Gotcha.
That'd be much easier to go adopt one. Anyway, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the show today. Sorry we had a little confusion, but if you miss our live shows, you can always listen to recorded versions on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss one, and we'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern. Things you will never own. Everybody, please spay, neuter, and geld. Say goodbye, Glenn.
And remember to wear your helmet today, just like the prisoners in Nevada. And keep the baseball hat underneath it. It's a good look.